Masculinity in America. It's what we're talking about this week. On Monday, we heard from two academics who've studied the topic closely. Today, we turn to someone with a slightly different set of credentials.
I have none.
That's comedian Michael Ian Black, who you may know from The State, Stella, and lots of shows and movies. Now, Michael may not have a degree in sociology, but he's definitely thought a lot about masculinity, especially in the aftermath of Parkland and other recent mass shootings.
You're not talking to anybody other than a dad of a teenage boy, somebody who spent a lot of time grappling with these issues on his own, and somebody who is doing a fair amount of research on it right now.
Of course, Michael can also draw from his own experiences as a boy.
I was a kid who was, I would say, above average in terms of sensitivity. I was prone to crying a lot. I was a very weepy kid, and I felt things really deeply, as I think most kids do. But I was aware of it enough to, I can recall the exact moment when I shut it down. When I said to myself, I'm no longer allowed to feel this way, because it felt like I was risking too much to do that.
So Michael Ian Black is worried that young boys in the U.S. today, particularly young white boys, are on the wrong path. And the dialogue necessary to change things hasn't even begun.
The first conversation is an acknowledgement that something's wrong. And I don't feel like we're even at that conversation. We're not even there. And so that's the first step, to say there is something wrong. There is something broken in American straight white boys, American white boys, whatever it is. And the result of that is that people are dying. And I'm not just talking about mass shootings. I'm talking about suicides. I'm talking about opiate addiction. I'm talking about the declining life expectancy for men and women in this country, but we're confining the conversation to men. There's a terrible problem right now with my gender, or I should say my sex. That's the first step. To acknowledge that is to open an enormous can of worms, because the next question is why. And the answers to that question, I feel like, are really deep, and they don't have any kind of easy solution. They require a multi-generational conversation in the same way that we've spent 50 years talking about women.
Is there a toxic masculinity talk, or should there be, that fathers or mothers maybe need to have with their sons?
I think there's conversations about consent. I think there's conversations about kindness and respect and civility. I don't think there's a conversation entitled toxic masculinity, particularly that you have with your kids. Because I think it opens the door to boys in particular feeling like there is something inherently wrong with them. That's how I felt growing up. I felt like there was something inherently wrong with me, and there was no term toxic masculinity, but I feel like the vision of masculinity that was presented to me was essentially that. It was essentially an idea of toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. And to put that label toxic in front of it, I think ends up doing a bigger disservice. The conversation that we need to have is multifold, and I don't know that it's a verbal conversation primarily. Parenting, in my experience and from my study on the subject, consists primarily of three things. It's a conversation, an ongoing verbal and nonverbal conversation that is primarily rooted in modeling how you behave as an adult around your kids. How you treat other people is the most powerful example. If I say to you, you know, respect women, and then I'm, you know, making
you
a comment to the waitress,
right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not modeling the behavior that I've set out for my son. You have to model consistently, and that may require, as a parent, you really evaluating your own behavior, and that's not always easy. My wife and I were having this conversation yesterday about an incident that she had on a train where women that she knew were making kind of sexual remarks about a dude, and she was saying that she found that kind of uncomfortable, and she doesn't do that. And I said, honestly, I do. I do have those conversations. I do have those thoughts about women. I don't know that those thoughts will ever go away. I don't know that they should go away. Those are thoughts that I have. But the way they manifest themselves, I have to be conscious and careful of. The same way that I'm conscious and careful of when I'm on your show not to curse, because there's a part of my brain that I can activate to make sure that I'm treating you and your listeners with respect. That's modeling, I think. So that's the first step. The second step is, and this is the more difficult thing in terms of parenting, because you can't control it, but it's a cultural conversation that has to happen in your community, a community conversation. How do your friends, your kids' friends treat each other? And the peer group component of it is really important. You can't control that. That's why the conversation has to extend beyond you and I. It has to become a broader conversation. It has to become a cultural conversation. How do the peers interact? That's probably as important or more important than how you as a parent model your behavior. And then finally, the largest conversation is the broadest cultural conversation, the media conversation. How are men represented in movies, in television shows, in music? I personally think I don't know if I'm right or wrong about this. I haven't seen any evidence, any compelling evidence that, for example, violent video games cause violence. I don't think that's true. I'm open to the idea. I suspect it's nonsense. But there are sort of paradigmatic ideas that exist in the culture that have an impact. The Marlboro Man had an impact. Mm-hmm. Gary Cooper had an impact. Vin Diesel has an impact. Positive or negative, they have an impact. I think it's subtle, and I don't think it's nearly as important as the circles that are closer to us, but I think it exists.
So, on that note, I think women and how far we've come with feminism and sort of our personal growth, a lot of that has to do with the fact that women have been trained to constantly think about their emotions. Part of that is we're open to talking to each other about a lot of this, right? We are open to going to therapy, right, to work these issues through. Men, not so much into therapy. Do men need therapy?
Sure. I don't know that it's realistic to tell some dude working two jobs in Indiana, and by the way, you should go to therapy. I don't know that that's realistic. I do think the model of masculinity that most boys are presented with at a young age is that to share your emotions is to be weak. That's a model that needs to change. To share your own insecurities is to be weak, as opposed to there is strength in empathy. There is courage in expressing your insecurities. There is a bravery in being afraid. Those, I think, are easier messages to digest and hopeful and maybe more helpful messages for boys. And so, you know, that affects the way boys communicate with each other when they're young and as they age. At a certain age, boys are essentially told, shut up. Just shut up. And the way we say it is, be a man. And that's a terrible, terrible message.
Mike Liam Black, thank you for being with us for such a thoughtful conversation.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
That's actor and comedian Michael Ian Black. We sat down a few weeks ago for a Facebook Live discussion where we also talked about allegations against the actor Jeffrey Tambor and so much more. So to find that, visit us on Facebook and we'll have the Facebook Live combo pinned to the top of our show page.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.